I would like to invite Andy up. So should we give him a nice warm welcome? Yes. So, in case you didn't know, yeah, it's a long walk. Andy's my brother-in-law, so I'm very blessed to have him not only as a brother in Christ, but also part of my family. Andy's got a real heart for God's people, and he's got a bigger heart for God, and he hears from God. So I will pray for him in a minute, but you know, just keep an open mind to what Andy said. You know, I haven't influenced what he said. So what he's saying is from him and what he's received from God. So should we pray for him? And then we'll get on with the show. So God, we just thank you for Andy. We thank you for the anointing that you put on his life. I thank you that you've not only given him the words to say, but this morning we just pray the Spirit come and strengthen him. Come and guide him. He is your servant. He is your son. And we give you all the praise for what he's going to say this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Hello. I'm going to... Do I need this? Yeah, I do need this. Okay. Okay, right. Good morning, I'm Andy. I don't know you, Mavis, at all, but that was a beautiful moment, and I just felt God was saying, I haven't forgotten any of those prayers that you have sent up for this area, this place, your home, has been up till now. I haven't forgotten a single prayer, and you are going to live to see the kingdom move as you've been praying for. You're going to live to see it. You're going to see it. You're going to see it. You know that, don't you? Yeah. That's good. I've got so many bits of scripture here, I won't get through them all. In Psalm 91, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will remain secure and rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And I had this picture praying about when after Gav asked me to come up, I had this picture of an eagle sort of circling round over this area, and like an eagle type of bird, a big one, and it spreads its wings. And God is described in Revelation as an eagle. Or there's four creatures that before his throne, and one of them is an eagle circling, watching. It's a sign of the Spirit of God. And I just felt that when I came in here, the way you are with one another is just a beautiful thing. And God is there, isn't he? He's there. We ask him to be here. We ask him to send his Spirit, and his Spirit is there. But when we speak the word of God, that's when he can manifest himself into our lives. And I know that when I've been brave enough to speak to people, God has done something. And I've just been listening to you. You've been saying that about when you speak into people's lives, God does something. And he's there, ready all the time. And it's like in Genesis, when we don't know how many billions of years the Spirit brooded over the waters, but then when God spoke, creation happened. And God spoke, things into being. And God speaks things into being into our lives. He's spoken into my life. He's speaking into your life all the time. And that is the nature of God, to speak. And when he speaks, there's power. Because it's not like when I or someone else says something to you, you speak and you're not sure of what you've said. And God isn't always sure of what he said. So it's a no-brainer for me to say to Mavis, you're going to see it, because God has told Mavis he's going to see it. And he is overshadowing us. I just got this strong sense of he's overshadowing everything that you're doing here. And as this idea of an eagle. And the eagle stretches out his wings, and there's uplift. And the eagle enjoys the flight. God loves to move, and he moves on our prayers and on our hearts. He moves on our hearts and lifts us up. And when we don't pray, if you're in an environment where there's no faith, then the Spirit swoops over above. But when there's no one to speak the word, it doesn't manifest. He has to hear the word, and you guys are speaking the word, and I think there's power, so much power. You experience that power moving. In Numbers 20, when Moses is contending with these people, you know, he's been given this unenviable job of looking after these Israelites. And in Numbers 20, God says to him, because they're complaining, they've got no water, they're in a desert. And they used to have water, didn't they? They used to have it all in Egypt. And so they're saying, if I can read, if only we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Why have you brought us up to the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness to die here? And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the doorway of the tent of meeting and fell on their faces before the Lord. And the glory and the brilliance of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord said, take the rod that you and your brother Aaron, with you and your brother Aaron, assemble the congregation and speak to the rock in front of them. So that's the rod that burst into bud that we know about. So in this way, you shall bring water from out of the rock. And fresh water flowed from the rock. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord, just as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock. And Moses said, listen now, you rebels. Must we bring water out of this rock? And Moses raised his hand in anger, and with his rod he struck the rock twice, instead of speaking to the rock as the Lord had commanded, and the water poured out abundantly, and the congregation and their livestock drank fresh water. So in Exodus, earlier on in their journey, Moses had been told to strike the rock, and the water came out. And in this occasion, God had said to him, speak to the rock. But he was angry, so he hit the rock. And those of you who know your story about Moses, you know that this led eventually to him not being able to go into the promised land. He could see it from the mountain, but he couldn't go in. And he died not in the promised land. And this is Moses, you know, this is an amazing figure of faith. And he lost it at that moment. You know, he'd had enough of these people. going on about it. Why don't we have this? Why don't we have this? Why aren't things perfect? And why do we have to go through this? Why have we gone through this? So he lost it. He got angry. He struck the rock. And it's very tempting to do that, you know, when you're angry or hurt. And in Corinthians 10, we learn that the rock was Jesus. And from Jesus flows all the abundance, all the water, all the living water, the Spirit of God. I don't know if Moses understood that that was Jesus at the time, but it was. And when we lash out, and I've done it in the past, we lash out. It's Jesus who takes the blows for us. And he understands us. And because he died and suffered for us, he forgives us. Moses had to pay what would have been a terrible price for him, not actually see it, walk into the promised land. He just gets to see it. For us, our slate is wiped clean immediately because he's forgiven us. And if there's any pain that we give it to God, and if there's any temptation that we give it to God, and he forgives us and washes us clean, and we don't need to lash out because he's there for us to forgive us. And I really felt the Spirit of God this morning that he has forgiven us for everything. And sorry, excuse me, a bit of a cold. If I can look at Isaiah 40. It says in verse 28, "Do you not know, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not tire or grow weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who has no might, he increases power. Even youths grow weary and tired, and young men stumble badly. But those who wait for the Lord, who expect and look for him and hope for him, will gain new strength and renew their power. They will lift up their wings and rise up close to God, like eagles rising to the sun. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not grow tired." And I really felt that was something that God wanted to say to you, that you may stumble, you may feel tired, but God will lift you up on his wings. And he is there. He is just there every time you speak the word of God, at home, on the street, like you're saying, wherever you go, he's there. And I was saying to Gav last night, it just seems that's exactly what's happening. So it's just like, I don't even need to say it. You know that this is happening. And God just wants to reassure you that I will always be there, looking, watching. I will always be by your side, ready to lift you up, ready to carry you on my wings. I will always be there. And this is a bit disjointed, but I've got some to say. I felt very strongly there was something the Spirit wanted to and is doing, is releasing you to move on. And there's a sense of movement, that you are not stationary. You have not come to a dead end. And you know this. You don't really need me to tell you this, but I just... Gavin hasn't told me much about what's happened. But I've just been praying. I just feel God said, I've got so much more, and there's so much that's been prayed for, that there's no way this is a dead end. This is a beginning. This is a step. You're on your way to moving into my purposes for this area and for the people that you come across in this area. I am releasing things in the heavenlies. I am above you in this area. I am changing the spiritual atmosphere in this area. And I'm speaking to the powers and the principalities, and I am breaking new ground in the heavenlies, so that when you speak, it has power to change people's lives, transform the atmosphere in people's homes, that when you stand on the street or in someone's living room, you know that you have the power of God there. And that even if it's just a word or a phrase, or you just bless someone in some way, as you guys do, God is going to do even more than you've ever experienced here before. This is what I felt. That this is the beginning of things. That, you know, in way back in the story of Abraham, and Abraham is questioning God, well, if there were 50 people, would you save the place? And he's talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. Would you save it? It was a sinful place. Yes, I'll save it. Well, what about if there's 20? What about if there's 10? And he goes on, doesn't he? Yes, I'll save it. I just felt God was saying, there's more than 50 out there. There's thousands and thousands, thousands. And thousands of people will come to know God in this area. And you are part of that story. And other churches are too. And there's no churches in the kingdom of God. There's the kingdom of God. You're all part of the kingdom of God. And it doesn't matter what denomination you are or aren't, or whether you even come to church. If you're part of the kingdom of God, you're his child. And I just feel this... so much more that the Lord wants to pour forth. And when the rock was struck, the water was abundant. It wasn't a few drops. It flowed. And it flowed enough for the however many thousands of people there were to have adequate water for their livestock as well. There was loads of water. It was a flood. And that's what Jesus has planned for you guys, to experience the kingdom of God moving, to experience the kingdom of God more. You have experienced the kingdom of God. But he says that this is just the beginning of what I want to do for you, through you, in you, on behalf of the people you love and care for, and the people that you know are walking away. And I think there are people out there, not far away, who used to come here and don't come here now. And God says, I haven't forgotten any of them. And they're going to walk through this door. They're going to walk through this door. I'm going to arrange divine appointments. You're going to bump into them. You're going to speak to them. This, again, you don't need me to tell you this is happening already. Okay. I'm going to fill your dream for this place. Immeasurably more, isn't it? The scripture says immeasurably more. How big is immeasurably more? It's more, isn't it? It's more. It's more than you can imagine. It's more, it's more. So you say, well, it'd be lovely to fill the building so it's really jammed, you know. Well, let's not even confine it there. So, you know, how far? God wants to move. And I know you know this. In Proverbs 16:26, it's talking about a laborer, and he's hungry, and the hunger spurs him to work on. And, you know, your hunger, God loves it when we're hungry. You know, I know in my life, when I'm not hungry for God, not a lot happens. Sometimes God overrides that, but a lot more happens when I'm hungry. And you guys are hungry. I know you are. God's told me you are. So I think this idea, this picture of opening up of wings, of uplift, of the raising of the eagle, so is really, really important that you keep that in mind, I think. You know, that God is watching everything. He's just looking for every chance to speak, and you are speaking, and it multiplies and overflows. I'm sorry this is disjointed, I'm just saying what I felt God was saying. One time when I was praying about this, I felt God was saying that I'm not frustrated, I'm not angry about anything that's happened, about any situation. I am at total peace and rest. And, you know, there's God worked for 6 days and then he rested. At the end of creating everything, he rested. And so for centuries, people understood that God is resting. He's resting. But then Jesus said something interesting, because he said that he was being told off for healing people on the Sabbath, wasn't he? And Jesus said, well, my Father's at work on the Sabbath. And that seems to contradict what... But you see, for God, for Jesus, for us when we move in the Spirit, it's not work to do God's work. It's out of the rest and the anointing that you have, the outpouring comes, the healing comes, the reverse of a situation comes. When you pray for someone, something just happens in their heart, and that can happen on a Sunday, that can happen any day of the week, kind of. That can happen because God is at rest and he gives you peace and rest. And it's tempting to be frustrated, to allow frustration. I've done it. I got really frustrated and stroppy and cross. And I walked out on a church for 6 years. I had a strop for 6 years. You know, that's the kind of person I am. What does that say about me? And I'm back at that church now. I had to go in and be humble and say, I was wrong. It doesn't matter what the issues were. I was wrong because I wasn't moving in the Spirit at all. I was moving in my own frustrations, and it was all me, me, me. And God says, I'm not interested in your frustrations. I want you to have my peace. And so, you know, I got over myself. Probably still got a long way to go there, but, you know. And I felt God was saying, you know, I'm not frustrated, I'm not angry about the situation. I wage war from a position of peace. My peace is aggressive and confrontational to the enemy. My peace really riles the enemy, it upsets the enemy so much that he throws everything in the kitchen sink at me, but I'm at total peace. This is quite funny because my car's probably running out of fuel now, isn't it? So I've locked myself out of my car with the engine on. This is great, isn't it? And so it's times like this you need the peace of God, don't you? Jesus says, I'm the beginning and the end of all things. This is what I feel Jesus is saying to you. It's not actually a scriptural quote, I think, but I feel it's what God is saying. I am the beginning and the end of all things. I am the Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty, the leader of the heavenly armies in heaven and on earth. And I wage war from rest. So I'll leave that with you to think about. And also, I felt like the idea that it's a miracle that any of us are here is something we sometimes overlook, you know. It's a miracle that I'm standing here. It's a miracle that you're sitting there. It's a miracle that we have Jesus in our lives. It's a miracle that, you know, the things that some of us have been through, it's a miracle we are alive in this life, you know. And there's going to be many more miracles. Many more miracles. There's no limit on God's miracles. And I had this thing, particularly God wants to restore people who have substance abuse issues, so drug abuse, I think it's it, and drug dealers. God wants to speak to drug dealers, drug users. And there's going to be miracles in there. People who have sold drugs, people who have used drugs, are going to be changed and transformed. That's what I felt God was saying. The people who have been damaging society, this community, will actually be transformed by God, saved, renewed, and will actually help you in the construction of God's kingdom here on Buttershore and wherever God leads you. Yeah, just make sure I've covered everything. It's flowing well, is it? If I could have a look at Deuteronomy 32. So this is what they call the Song of Moses. So it's shortly before he dies. And God is describing how he chooses Israel. And he's passionate about Israel to nurture this child, to look after this child as it grows, so that it can grow into a demonstration of the kingdom for the earth to see, so that people will be saved. And in verse 10 of Deuteronomy 32, he says, I found him in a desert land, in the howling wasteland of a wilderness, and he kept circling him. He took care of him. He protected him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle that protects its nest, that flutters over its young. He spreads out his wings. He took them and he carried them on his pinions. So the Lord alone led them, and there was no foreign god with him. He made Israel ride on the high places of the earth. And I feel that's a promise for you, that God will lift you and carry you in his pinions. And there's a sense in that of a nest, isn't there? Releasing the chicks. They got to fly. But he's there to pick you up, carry you if you're struggling. You can ride on his wings. And I think that's a promise for you guys, that he will always be there. So if you speak God's word and you feel you've got into a situation you can't handle, he will be there to help you handle it. I feel that. That's what. I think that's about everything, Gav. Pretty much. So, bless you. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Andy.